Nissan with Pat Caputo and the radio voice of the Detroit Tigers, Dan Dickerson.
This one is gone!
On Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
And a happy Monday evening to you. Along with Pat Caputo, I'm Dan Dickerson. Pat's getting untangled right now. You know what? That's a heck of a tangle you got going on right over there. A couple of headsets, maybe three, all tangled together. And Pat is going to untangle them, we think, by the end of this show. But we are glad to have you along on a Monday night, second to last, inside Tiger Town. We are getting ready for the start of a baseball season. Pitchers and catchers report. It's what everybody looks forward to hear those words. And they always ask me, when are you leaving? Because they know that a baseball season is not far away. And Pat, pitchers and catchers reported today. The first full workout is tomorrow. We'll be talking with James McCann on the show tonight, coming up at 7:45, and then the full squad first workout is coming up on the 18th. And there's a lot to like about if you're the Tigers reporting to spring training this year with a new-look ballpark, new-look clubhouse, workout room, and I think these guys are ready to get going.
Well, there's no question about it. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. That's great. I finally got untangled from all this headphones. That was a little bizarre, but... those moments before, I carry so many different things with
normally
me.
Normally, you can just reach over, grab a headset, plug it in, and we're ready to go. And you grabbed like three.
I did. I got a bunch of stuff that I bring with me. So I'm prepared for the show. But you know what, Dan? It's kind of the point of the year where it's hurry up and wait. And what I love about baseball is that you go through all these different stages, among many things, where you have spring training, the regular season. Then you have, like, the All-Star break, the trade deadline, the pennant races, postseason. Then the off-season starts in earnest, and you go through all these different parts of the off-season. And the off-season, I've had enough of it. Like I think most of us, it's cold outside. It's, you know, you're starting to itch for, you know, daylight savings time and those beautiful days at dusk. And baseball coming. And it's always a great thing. It's always the first thing. It started... You know, when I was a kid with Ernie, would do the first preseason game or exhibition game from Lakeland. You know, you can always hear it in the background. There's something about Joker Marchant Stadium where it just sounds different than any other place in the world. And when you guys do that, Ernie did it in the past, and you do it now, it's just something different. And that first preseason game or exhibition game, to me, I just hear that, and it just literally makes my heart go warm.
Yeah.
Go warm. You know, it's just a... something about it that's special, different than anything else in literally the whole world.
Yeah, and there's we definitely benefit from people getting excited about spring, especially in the Middle West and the Northeast, where it's cold in the wintertime. We definitely benefit. There's nothing quite like the start of a baseball season. You can't really compare it to football, hot and sticky in the summer when they start their preseason, or hockey or basketball. There's just that built-in, I can't wait for this sign of spring to get started, and we benefit from that, and we enjoy it as well.
But, you know, the other thing about it is this year, the Tigers, the end of the last season ended so disappointingly. They didn't get into the playoffs. There was this kind of anticipation that all these things were going to change with them, that they would probably get leaner, and not necessarily meaner, because it's hard to get leaner and have a better team.
Right.
Let's be honest with you, unless you've got some star-studded minor league system, and the Tigers don't have that with their advanced prospects anyway. So you're sitting there looking at it and saying, oh, okay, end of an era, all these different things, it's finally going to happen this year. But they didn't. They're not rebuilding, and then you can kind of look at this team, and maybe it's the optimism of, hey, you know what, spring training's coming and all that. But you can look at the team and see where maybe they can contend again, maybe have a shot. Sometimes teams break through in improbable ways at improbable times. It's a matter of everything coming together at once. There's certainly a lot of premier players on this team. And all of a sudden you look and you say, hey, maybe they got a shot.
Right.
Maybe it's a good shot, and it's probably a good thing that they kept the band together, so to speak. And it'll make for more of an interesting season than some kind of transition year or rebuilding year or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch this roster come together. There aren't a lot of decisions. We'll be talking about one of the bigger decisions, several really on the pitching side of the equation. Clearly, the national feeling is this team has probably missed its window to win a world championship. I think that's safe to say. I'll disagree with it for several reasons. But what you realize is that national consensus that the window is closing or has closed, or that this is a team that's kind of in the 80 to 83 win range, which seems to be right now kind of the general consensus, 85 tops, is built on the fact that the stars who lead this team, led by Verlander and Cabrera, are in their 30s, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of regard for the Tigers' young players. And that's where I would probably say that my biggest disagreement with that prediction, there doesn't seem to be a lot of regard for McCann, Castellanos, Iglesias, whoever's going to be in center field, and I understand that because there's not a proven center fielder right now on this team. But really not much regard for the fact they still have Upton, J.D. Zimmerman, in addition to a guy like Joey Menez on the way, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of credit given or much expectation for guys like Boyd and Norris to join Fulmer. Because if there was, then you would say this is a team that has three starting pitchers 26 years or younger to go with Zimmerman and Verlander, and that could be a real strength in the end. But clearly the national feeling does not agree. The national feeling is this team is old, and its window for contending is closing if it hasn't closed already.
248-539-9797. What do you think about the Tigers? Do you think they're legitimate contenders this year? Also, who do you think the big breakout player is going to be on the Tigers in 2017? What player do you expect to have a breakout year, whether it's somebody on the comeback trail, somebody like maybe a Jordan Zimmerman, or perhaps it's a younger player. Immediately comes to my mind is Daniel Norris. Who are you expecting to have a breakout year this year in 2017? Last year, the Tigers had a big breakout year from Michael Fulmer that was not anticipated. It ended up being the American
League regular. By anybody, it was not anticipated.
So, I mean, that was
not
just
to that extent.
I mean, the guy was amazing. So how do you feel about it? Also, looking at my baseball perspectives, they had a lot of optimistic things to say, surprisingly,
yes,
about some players on the Tigers right now that everybody in this town has written off. I'll tell you what baseball prospectus had to say. Is there some hope for these guys, or are they doomed? And what should the Tigers do with these guys? I'll tell you who that is coming up at 7:15. James McCann, the Tigers catcher, will join us. That'll be at 7:45. But this show is about you. You're the Tiger fans. Dan and I, we're here every week for an hour. And we got a couple more shows left before Dan departs for Lakeland. Actually, we'll do a
just
couple
one.
Shows
just
for
one.
Lakeland. But we'll do a show or two before Dan makes the big call and does that exhibition debut from the Grapefruit League. But we'd love to hear from you. 248-539-9797. People love baseball. We know that. We love baseball. This is a labor of love for us. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 248-539-9797 is the phone number. It's Tiger Talk, 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97.1 The Ticket.
Runner on first takes off, put on to second base, and they got him. McCann does it again. Rickard took off, a rare attempt by the Orioles to steal. And James McCann, as he seems to do every time, a perfect throw cuts him down.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Ticket text 97136. We'd love to hear from you today. Pat Caputo and Double D Dan Dickerson with Tiger Talk here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, coming up at 8 o'clock, Paul Woods will join me today. Kenny's off. We'll have Inside Hockey Town. So we got all the sports covered here today, at least the ones we carry here on 97.1 The Ticket. And, Dan, talking about breakout players, who do you think is going to be the breakout player in 2017?
I saw that Anthony Fennec posted that question today. He had Daniel Norris as his breakout candidate. It's not a bad choice. I think it'd be
obvious
huge.
Choice, isn't it?
Probably. It's huge for this team if he is. And the reason I won't make him my breakout candidate, and I really think he has a chance to be that guy. Right now, what's holding me back is his injury history. This is a really good athlete, and I think he can certainly stay injury-free. But because he's had two obliques plus the back injury all in the last year and a half, going back to the time they traded for him from Toronto, it does worry me a little bit. So having said that, the only thing that, to me, holds him back is health. So for that reason, my breakout candidate will be Joey Meneses. In terms of who's going to have a big impact on this team this year, I think Joey Meneses is going to have a big impact. It might start in May, much like Michael Fulmer's impact season started in May. But I really believe Joey Meneses is going to be a big part of this bullpen by the end of the season. I think they are really in need of those reliable setup men for K-Rod. Certainly Justin Wilson and Shane Green can be those guys. I think the guy with the best stuff who will just, I think, slip right into that role will be Joey Meneses. I would put James McCann on that list, too, because I still think,
yeah,
obviously, his hitting, he made big improvements as a catcher. And I say breakout because he still has, I think, that offensive talent to be an impact hitter. You and I have talked about it at length. He needs to get much better against right-handed pitching to do that, but he has made changes working with the remarkable Matt Martin, who will do a little bit of everything. He's not just a defensive guy. He's a guy who works on the mental side as well. I think Matt's really worked with him and put him in a place where offensively, remember he was hurt by that ankle injury at the plate last year. He has that chance to have, if not a breakthrough year, a much improved year at the plate, and that would be a huge for this team.
Well, I think those are two pretty good candidates, and I think with McCann, that's well taken. He'll join us at 7:45 tonight, actually, here on 97.1 The Ticket. But I'm looking at it, you mentioned Jimenez. You know,
you rave about him. You love him.
I was like the
you
Joey.
You just wonder why he's not on the team right now.
I thought of why he wasn't on in June. It was like the Joe Jimenez fan club or something. I felt that way. So, I mean, obviously, I think he's really, really good and can have a breakout type of season. But I'm going to go with Justin Wilson. And the reason I say that is Justin Wilson has only scratched the surface of what he is. And I think sometimes in that game, you have to get your brains bashed in a little bit before you start to really be good in a figurative sense. And I think with Justin Wilson last year, I think that happened to him a little bit. You know, they depended on him. He saw that he was pretty good. Everybody thinks he's good. The two players that, from my understanding, the Tigers get calls about all the time, one of them is Jose Iglesias, and the other one's Justin Wilson, where teams are looking for somebody. They'd love to get a power arm lefty.
Yes.
And I think he's a guy that has stuff. You know, it's like Jim Leland always said. He said, I'll take talent. You know, you can have the experience, I'll take talent. He's got talent. He's got big-time talent. And I think that he could have a breakout year. I could even see a situation where he becomes, in some ways, their most valuable player. Where last year he faltered, I think this year he will thrive.
I think the elbow had something to do with it down the stretch. Right. But you got a 2.5 walk, 10 strikeout guy. Those are valuable guys. He's cut his walks each of the last 2 years. No small thing. Has to be some bad luck involved when you're a 2.5, 10 strikeout guy and you give up more hits than innings pitched. Some bad luck, no question. But this guy's good. I agree with you. And he's going to be the setup guy to start the season. There's no question in my mind. And he certainly has the tools, like you said, to be a dominant force as a setup man.
Well, if you look at it, people talk about high-leverage situations. He's the guy that's going to get the high-leverage call. Last year, he struggled with it. I think this year, he will thrive in it. That's just my thoughts. And obviously, Jimenez is very important in that. If you've got a righty-lefty combo there, it's on Joe Jimenez throws consistently 95 miles an hour or harder. People haven't seen him, but he's got late life on his fastball. It bends. It's got a cutting action to it. Think Mariano Rivera. Not that he's as good as Mariano Rivera.
But
it has that same type of action. The other thing is, and it can be a bad thing when it comes down to holding runners, but he pulls his leg back and turns his back to home plate and then throws. Now, what that does is create a lot of deceptions. Hitters can't pick the ball up. So he's got kind of an ugly motion in a good way.
Right.
People used to wonder why Todd Jones would miss bats or do well when he was throwing 91 miles an hour and then pick up somebody like Matt Anderson. And Todd would be the first to tell you, I have a terrible motion. It's the best thing I've got for me. With Jimenez, it's not a terrible motion where he gets a lot of torque on the back leg and all that. But that ball comes out of the chute late. They don't see it. It's almost like the optical illusion to hitters of like the two you know, the jugs gun with the two tires, and it just shoots out. If you ever just first batted at that, you're like, whoa, the ball's right on top of me. Well, that's what it does. Hitters have to start striding early. He throws that slider, and they're done. And he's got pretty good command, so I think he's got a chance. If you got two power arms like that, the other thing is, and I don't think people realize this, the Tigers had the highest miles per hour of any staff in the major leagues last year. That is something that they have. They have more power arms because Rondon throws hard and Verlander throws hard. They're starters across the board.
Right.
95-plus on right. Fulmer, which is very high for a starter. Norris was at 93 above the major league average. Somebody like Pelfrey threw 93, which surprised people, but above the major league average of 92. And then you got Wilson. I'm talking about Justin. And then, Alex Wilson isn't that hard to throw, doesn't miss that many bats. But they had more higher velocity pitches than anybody else in major leagues last year, which was somewhat surprising when you think about it. So there is that aspect to them. 248-539-9797. Joe, you're on 97, won the ticket.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
I just want to talk a little bit about Victor. Do you think it's possible at all that someone could maybe have him think of playing less games, maybe like 120 to 125? It just seems like he plays so much better when he gets time off.
No, I don't picture it. I mean, he played in 154 last year. He's not going to play in the field at all. I think he wants to play, and if he says he's good to go, unless he says, I need a break, he's going to be in there. You worry about his knees every single day, and you worry about his health every single day, but this is a guy who wants to be in there, and I would think that while what you're saying does make some sense at 38, I think that as long as he shows that he can get up there, and, I mean, let's face it, he had a pretty solid year last year, 290 with some pretty decent power numbers. He'll probably get about the same number of, you would think, plate appearances again this year if he has the same health.
Yeah, that makes sense. I just seem like he played so much good after, like, Brad gave him a day or two off. He always seemed to come
It'd be interesting to look that up. I mean, I have to figure out a way to actually look it up, but it seemed to me I didn't notice that just with the eyeball test or something that I noticed as a pattern. So maybe you picked it up. Maybe you're the astute one, Joe.
Maybe
you picked up something that, and we can relay, and Al Avila will relay it to Brad Ausmus, and then all of a sudden, they'll find something. They got a big game. Now Victor Martinez take a day off, and then the next day he'll be really good. He can still hit, Victor. It'll be interesting to see if he becomes kind of this David Ortiz type of character. I don't know if he'll ever have that type of power. He had that one year, but where he hits forever. Because he had a pretty good year last year. It wasn't like he was somebody who was an automatic out or something. He had some pretty good numbers, he can't run the bases. He's not going to help you out in the field. I've never used him in that regard. But he can still rake, right? And especially left-handed, that's such a key for the Tigers.
No, you feel good with him in the lineup. He'll be in that fourth spot because that's where he's comfortable. I think that, JD's more comfortable five. No, you still feel good about him at the plate. It's just I think the base running is a problem, but you got him for two more years. You're going to live with it.
I'll tell you this: the game's tight, and you need a hit.
I know what you're going to say.
If Victor Martinez kind of comes hobbling up to the plate, you feel pretty good about it. If you're a Tiger fan, I would assume, eh?
Yeah.
248-539-9797 is the phone number. Tiger Talk 97.1 the ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97.1, The Ticket.
Boy, there's a pitch in the dirt. Snap throw down to first, and they got him.
Wow.
What a play by McCann on a pitch that Bowsy backhanded the in-between hop, got up, fired to first, and picked off Souza.
Double D, Dan Dickerson, great to hear that voice. 248-539-9797 is the phone number. Ticket text 97136. Hey, Jerry, you're on Tiger Talk. What's up, buddy?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey.
Hey, gosh, it seems like the winter went extremely fast this year. I'm sure the mild temps have done it for us. We're ready for some baseball now.
Yes, indeed.
I'll tell you what, it was sunny at Comerica Park for Tiger Fest, and it looked like they could play. It would have been fine for opening day. So hopefully it'll be nice in April when they start playing.
Unbelievable, you bet. And, Dan, just on the side note, good luck to the Zaharias this year, right? All right. Let me ask you my question. And the question is it possible that, and I believe he's in his fourth year, that Anibal Sanchez can renew and get some life back into his arm again? Remember, we've been kind of before the two youngsters, well, even before Fulmer, we were always thinking about him in the last couple of years being a starter. Is there any chance this guy's got anything left in the tank to be able to help us out?
My feeling is no. Absolutely no evidence that there's a whole lot there. And when you give up as many home runs as he's given up the last 2 years, I'd love to be wrong. And the big question, I think, do the Tigers give him the chance to prove people wrong, that he does still have something left. But think about trying to evaluate Aníbal Sánchez in the spring. He's going to be gone for the World Baseball Classic, I believe. It's a very tough time to evaluate pitchers. Very tough. And the Tigers have said, we're going to evaluate based on history. And his history is 59 home runs in 310 innings and a 5.40 ERA the last 2 years. I don't see any evidence at all that that is about to change. And I don't see any spot on this roster for him except for the fact that he makes $15 million this year. And I think that's a very tough decision for a general manager. You can't discount the fact he's going to make $15 million this year, and you're going to eat that if you say, no, Boyd's our guy, and there's no room for Sánchez in the rotation or in the bullpen.
Indeed, indeed. All right, guys. Thanks a lot, Dan.
All right, thanks, Jerry.
You know what? I think there is some hope for the guy. You know, I didn't think so until looking at baseball prospectus. Maybe they're off base. I read it to you out there in the bullpen. The book just came out this week. I don't even think it's on the bookshelves, but I got popped up on my computer because I pre-ordered it, and they said that after July 1st, and I didn't realize this, but his OPS hitters against, it still wasn't real good. Yeah, you know, the major league average OPS is 700, roughly 700.
Yeah, it was up a little bit last year.
705, 710, it depends year
last
to year.
Last year was more 730-ish, but yes.
Was it 730-ish?
Yes.
Okay, but it's still, his OPS after July 1st was still above the major league average, which was 754. But still, that's a lot lower than the first part of the year when it was 900 or something like that. So he did pitch a little bit better in terms of his performance from that standpoint. He is somebody that has guile, and anybody who's been around him knows that he actually cares. You know, the fact that he can't pitch breaks him up. You know, even though you think, hey, man, you're rich beyond anybody's belief. Hey, just go off and ride out in the sunset, and you're great. You have the ALERA title. Who cares, right? He cares. So there's some hope for him because he's got that, ball player thing going. So I'm just saying there's a speck of hope for him. The other thing on Lowe, he also, his OPS against was 6.56 later in the year after July 1st. Now, this is all mop-up rolls where they're bringing him out.
Very much a mop-up rule.
But he does have some velocity sometimes. It kind of comes and goes in his career. There's some hope for him. And Pelfrey threw as hard as he did the year before. He said, well, it doesn't matter. He doesn't miss bats. Great point. The OPS against him was still bad the second half. But there is 6'7", you know, throws on a high tilt. Again, another guy who he seems to really care about it. There's a possibility. You know, some of these guys, they get to where they're at because they're like, they just don't go away. You know, they're persistent. They get knocked down. They keep going. Maybe some of these guys have got it in them. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just giving you an alternative view on it.
No, I'm glad you are because I'm not optimistic about any of them. I like all of them, but that means nothing.
I know. It doesn't for them if they don't do well.
Yeah.
And it's hard to tell whether in spring training whether they've got it back or not.
That's the problem. There's not room for all of them in the bullpen. And, you're going to try to evaluate based on spring training performance. Forget it. Maybe with a Joey Menez because they're looking for maybe – improvement with a particular pitch, like more command of his fastball or a better slider, whatever it is they're looking for, you can judge that in spring. But when you're trying to judge whether Aníbal Sánchez is better than the guy who finished last year with a 5.80 ERA, that's tough to do because you're getting out double-A and triple-A guys for the most part in most of these games.
And I'll tell you this, if Al Avila said what I just said to me, my eyes would roll. So you understand what I'm saying. I mean, I understand the alternative view. And the other thing on the Joe Jimenez thing, a little late to the party. Joe Jimenez had been called up last year. They would have been in the postseason, in my opinion. But that's just me.
Right.
2-4-8-5-3-9-97-97. And you can't tell me you couldn't learn something from hanging around K-Rod.
Pat, you got to let it go.
Oh, I'm sorry. Instructional league. That's what's going on.
He's going to be on this team out of spring, I think. I really believe that.
He probably threw the best pitches he ever threw in his life last June. And even though I'm just, but then they weren't in the major leagues. Hey, Garrett, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. What's up?
Not much, guys. I'm really getting back into the saddle here, and it's nice that we're finally at baseball season. Dan, it's going to be nice to hear you in the very short future, calling games at Joker Marching. So I'm looking forward to that, my friend.
Thank you. Week from Friday.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. I mean, and this team's, you know what, even though this team could have gone out and done a few different things, they could have sold, they could have bought. I mean, I saw Travis Woods sign today. He might have been a decent pickup. But I will say this, Dan, to follow up on what you said earlier, I still think that this bullpen is actually vastly underrated. And I do think that not only is Wilson a key piece, but Alex Wilson towards the end of that year with the way that he was getting the bite on his off-speed pitches, the way that he was able to get himself out of what seemed to be plenty of jams. He was a guy that kept the ball down and was able to induce a lot of double plays and ground balls towards the second half of the season. I think you pair him up with a Jimenez, hopefully a guy like Kyle Ryan and Blaine Hardy that can sort themselves out there as well. I think this bullpen actually has four or five quality pieces in it, and I actually think it's not a bad thing. It's not a major league best bullpen, don't get me wrong, but it's definitely not in the bottom half of the major league.
No, they showed some signs, and until Green and Wilson kind of faltered down the stretch, talking about Justin, they actually put together some pretty solid numbers over a two-month stretch. And they just need to – I think those two guys hold the key. Alex Wilson's been the MVP of this bullpen the last 2 years. There's no question about it. He's settled into a nice role. He can be a law man. He can be a swing man. Alex Wilson's very valuable, but he's not going to be that setup man, and that's the role that needs to be filled with great consistency. That's why I think Pat's point about Justin Wilson is dead on. He can certainly be that guy. Shane Green, we have no feel, at least I don't. He showed he could do it, then he showed he couldn't in an equal number of innings.
Well, you know the amazing
last two
thing
months.
About Shane Green.
But it's a slightly small sample size as well, but I was also going to ask you as well, Dan, I know that Al Avila made the trade for Mickey Mettuk. I know there were a few other guys out there, but I'm not necessarily opposed to it. I mean, is this a case where you think he could potentially win out the starting job? I know that they're trying to tout Jacoby Jones as being the guy, but
oh yeah, they traded for Mottuk. They traded for Mottuk to put him in center field. I don't think there's any question.
It's going to be their starting center fielder.
There's no question. They didn't. They want Jacoby Jones to get more seasoning. They still believe in him. I think very much so, but they believe that he has to be a AAA to start the year.
Now, is this one of those cases though with Mottuk to where? Now, does he possess a similar type skill set as a Maben? I know Maben was a little bit more of a contact hitter, great speed, but from what I've seen with Mottuk,
I don't know what to think. He hit nine home runs in just over 100 at-bats 2 years ago. He hadn't done that in the minor leagues before, so he showed great power. And then last year, he didn't show much of anything. Injuries, he feels like, were to blame. Maybe something in between, but really, it's got to be a guy who uses his speed for his offensive skills. I think his offensive upside is fairly limited. But I do think this is a guy whose defensive upside I'm intrigued by just because of what his college coach at LSU said, an electric athlete. You don't hear that all the time. I don't think guys say that just to say it.
Well, there's a whole boatload of Mickey Mottuk. Well, not a whole boatload, but a few. Going back to LSU, highlights of him making very acrobatic plays near the fence, diving, things like that, throwing guys out. So there's some athleticism there. A lot of those highlights are when he's playing right field. So it'll be interesting to see how that
We'll be able to get a feel, center field in Florida. I mean, gap to gap, can he take hits away? We'll be able to get a feel of that in spring training game.
Absolutely. So it depends on those type of things. But I'm not as high on Jacoby Jones as you are,
right,
or maybe the Tigers, maybe are or aren't. 248-539-9797. Speaking of young players who could break out, one of Dan's picks. It's coming up next. That's Tigers catcher James McCann. You're listening to Tiger Talk, 97.1 The Ticket.
Tiger Talk with Pat Caputo and Dan Dickerson on Tigers Radio, 97.1 The Ticket.
The 1-1. Swinging a fly ball, left center field, on the run, Rasmus, way back, gone! Just kept going to left center. Grand slam for James McCann.
There you go. It's got kind of a little
alliteration there.
Yeah, no question. Grand slam for James McCann. Joining us now, though, is Tigers catcher James McCann. How are you, James?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
We're doing well. It's good to hear from you tonight. And I would imagine you're getting pretty excited about spring training. Just starting here for you guys down at Lakeland.
Yeah, it's an exciting time of the year, starting things up, getting back with the guys and getting back on the field.
How quickly does that feeling go away when you, I mean, because for catchers, I always think spring training, it's a lot of work. You're catching a lot of guys. You want to get to know some of those new faces, and you guys put in some long days.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's what you love to do, though. You know, it's something that you know, you don't always look forward to all the bullpens, but at the same time, that's the way you gotta get ready for the season. You understand that, and they do a good job of taking good care of us down here and making sure that we're well rested and taken care of.
James, I had a nice talk with Matt Martin during the caravan, and he was so impressed by the work that you did last year. You were having some struggles against righties. I know you two started working on the mental side of things, plus others, during the season. There was certainly some improvement in August into September against righties for you, which an area, obviously, where you had to improve. And then you went to Camp Martin in the offseason. Just talk about the influence that Matt has had, some of the things you've worked on, and why that gives you kind of that optimism, especially about your offense going into 2017.
Yeah, so Matt is our video and defensive coordinator, and you know, he's a guy that focuses a lot on the mental aspect and how you approach the game mentally, and you know, he's just kind of a guy that has you take the mechanics out of it and get back to, you know, what you've done since you're a kid, and that's just, you know, going out and playing the game and allowing your body to do what you know you've trained it to do. And the mind is such a powerful thing that you, a lot of times, you know, hurt yourself by overthinking something or, you know, you're not allowing your body to perform. And that's what we, you know, got back to is just allowing things to happen instead of trying to force it and putting that extra pressure on yourself. And I took that into the off season and I feel like I've made some big strides and some big gains this off season as far as that's concerned.
You know, I was often wondering, you know, a player like you played at a top-level college program like Arkansas, and then you go into professional baseball. A lot of players come out and sign out of high school. Can you talk about the difference between what you went through, and how much did playing college baseball help you, and how much of an adjustment is it going from the college ranks into professional baseball, James?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's funny. You sit around and talk with guys that signed out of high school versus guys that signed out of college, and it's just so different. You know, college, you have, you know, 5 a.m. workouts, and then you got to go to class for 4 or 5 hours, then you're back to the field for practice, and, you know, it's just so much, there's so much more, you know, time taken up in a day when you throw in, you know, classes. But what it really helps you do is it helps you, you know, learn how to have a routine. And that's the biggest thing for me that I got out of, you know, going to college was I have a routine. I know it works for me to get my body ready, to get my body right. And then, you know, the adjustment as far as, you know, playing on the field, it's a much bigger adjustment, obviously, going from high school to pro ball as it is going from, you know, college to pro ball, especially when you're playing at a top in D1, you're playing against the best players in the country. It just prepares you for what pro ball has to offer, especially when you talk about, you know, a place like University of Arkansas where you've got 8,000 or 9,000 fans in the stands every game, and, you know, you're playing in front of people and loud crowds and maybe a hostile environment when you go on the road. But for me, you know, the college is just something that really, really helped me develop for future in pro ball.
Talking about development, James, I know you took, this looked like big strides defensively last year in so many ways. Brad always talks about that, the learning curve for a catcher in terms of calling a game, which he feels is the most perhaps unmeasurable from the outside aspect of catching. It took him, he said, 4 or 5 years, but you caught a staff that had a guy who probably, well, arguably could have won the Cy Young, another guy who did win Rookie of the Year. How did you feel like you progressed, especially in that area, calling a game? Because it sure looked like there was that comfort level as the season went on.
Yeah, I think definitely as the season went on, I gained more and more experience, and I got a lot more comfortable. And I think that's something that like Brad has said, is it just comes with time. I don't think that there's a magic number that you can say, okay, as soon as he's caught, you know, this many games,
right,
that's when it clicks. It's just kind of one of those things you go off a feel. I think that that's a big you know, learning curve, and that's something that if you can find a way to shorten that learning curve, it's going to make you, you know, a better player in the long run. And I think last year was a big stepping stone, and this year again, I look to take another big stride in that area of my game. You know, and just learning from what Brad has to offer, and getting Alex back this year, and you know, learning from guys like Verlander, guys like Zimmerman, guys that have been around, and taking little pieces from every little guy that's had success, and turning it into my own personal game.
Talking to James McCann, the Tigers catcher. James, there's one thing that's one of the quirkiest things that I can ever remember statistically, and it's your batting average against right-handers and left-handed pitching. You hit left-handers with a high average, have, you know, from the time you were in the minor leagues, not so much against right-handers. And I would assume you grew up seeing right-handed pitching all the time. Is it something that's just a coincidence, or is it something you work on? And how do you work on something like that?
I think it's something that you can work on. And I think that, you know, there's different things that you can key in on as far as, you know, mechanics go, and what you're allowing yourself to hit, and what you're, you know, maybe not allowing yourself to get to, and the way that your swing works. And that's something that hopefully I've addressed this off season, and you know, but it's just something you continue to work on. Everyone's going to have a weakness, and that's you know, part of the game. You know, there's only one Ted Williams in the world, only one Miguel Cabrera. You know, and even those guys have their weaknesses, and that's something that as a competitor and as a professional baseball player, you. You know, you focus in on those weaknesses and find a way to make them, you know, not so weak, and strengthen them.
Yeah, you got a great strength against left-handers. It's an amazing thing, and probably, I would assume, even out after some certain point playing. The other thing is, a receiver last year, you worked very hard, obviously. You know, framing pitches, doing different things like that. I don't think people realize how much nuance goes into that. Do you feel like right now that you've really developed into a top-notch receiver, and where do you need to improve that way? Certainly throwing's not a problem for you.
Well, and that's, you know, again, that there's always areas that you can improve. Even, you know, even throwing, I can think back to numerous times during the season last year where, you know, whether it's a success or failure, I could have been better in one way or another. And, you know, with receiving, I felt like I made some good strides last year. I feel like I've made some more strides this offseason. I look to continue to work on that in spring. But that's kind of the way that I've always felt about, you know, my game is, no matter how good I get, I feel like I can always find a way to get better, find a way to fine-tune something just a little bit to make it even better. And that's something that, you know, with receiving, I've worked on this offseason, and you know, hopefully it'll pay dividends come the season.
James, we enjoyed the conversation. Good luck to you, and good luck this coming season, and enjoy spring training.
We'll see you next week, James.
All right, sounds good. Y'all take care.
Thanks. That's James McCann, the Tigers catcher. We appreciate his time.
He did make big strides defensively. And I know, I mean, you just love hearing that, but what else do you expect from James McCann? He always wants to get better, but he made big strides with his total defensive game last year.
Yeah, he's an amazing thrower. I mean, some of the athleticism on his throws is incredible. You know, and he gets into his stance, he pops up, the throw he made from, you know, down in the crouch, he just finds a way to get the ball there. He's an amazing thrower.
Yeah, I mean, he's over 40%. Just remember, league average is at 27%. He's over 40% the last 2 years.
And a couple of, I mean, just unbelievable.
Right
on the bag.
Dot.
And just with great quickness. He's athletic. He reminds me, he's bigger, but he does remind me a lot of his manager, Brad Ausmus, as a catcher. There's very much similarities. Athletic guy who just do certain things that can get it done, understands how to call a game. I think he's gotten better at that, so. He has the upside for him is still
there.
Still there.
No question.
Anyway, Dan enjoyed it.
All right, Pat. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, we will. Coming up next, Paul Woods will join me today. Kenny's off. Inside Hockey Town's coming up next here on 97.1 The Ticket.